In our trek through Genesis, we have come to Genesis chapter 40. And in the life of Joseph, this is certainly a low point in outward circumstances, but not in spiritual blessing. We noted last time that the preceding chapter ended with a declaration that the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. That's blessing. And even though from Joseph's standpoint, this is a low point, here he has been betrayed by his family, sold into slavery, betrayed by his master's wife, put in prison, you know, just one step downward after another. Very discouraging circumstances for anyone to go through. But the Lord was with him. There was no doubt in Joseph's mind that he was in God's will. He was doing what was right. He knew what was right. And everything was going against him. The ceiling was caving in on him. But he was still right with God. And the Lord was with him. Now, friends, we've got to remember that because many times we discover that God's blessing does not always attend with the financial prosperity and things like this. But when you're right with the Lord, walking His pathway and have that sense of His blessing, you know, it's worth it. It doesn't matter what the external circumstances may be. Now, they may change. They may fluctuate up and down. But the blessing of the Lord is constant. And Joseph knew that. So here he is, doing his very best, serving the Lord in a most difficult situation, and the Lord was with him. Chapter 40. It came about after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, in the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. Now, here's an event that is, from the standpoint of Egyptian history, very significant. Pharaoh's life was in the hands of these men. They were people that he trusted implicitly because the cupbearer, if somebody was going to poison Pharaoh, the cupbearer is holding the cup. The baker, yes, poison could be put in the bread too. And so these two men were very trusted individuals, but something happened. We're not told here what it was. And Pharaoh got mad at them. Now, the word Pharaoh means great house. An Egyptian word, not a Hebrew word. But it means great house. That sounds a little odd for us, but then we've got the same idiom in our own language. Sometimes a news reporter will say, the White House said thus and so today. And the White House didn't say a thing. It just stood there. But we all know what happened. The president said something, and one of his spokesmen reported it to the news media, and so they say, the White House said this. Okay, well, great house now has some words to say here. And that is an idiom the same way. It's Pharaoh as the king of Egypt who is speaking here. But the name means great house. And so, when he thus pronounced, there's immediate rigor that's put in his words. He put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard. Now, who's that? That's Potiphar. The captain of the bodyguard was Potiphar. And so Potiphar now comes to take these two and to put them in the very place that he had Joseph put. And the captain of the bodyguard, verse 4, put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. So here is Potiphar now, who is still dealing with Joseph. Joseph is in this place that he engineered him to be there, but he is running the place with efficiency. And Potiphar knows very well that Joseph is not going to let these two get away. And he's not going to mistreat them. He's going to take care of them. And so, here is Potiphar still in relationship with his ex-slave. And there's something about that of testimony. Joseph has lived for the Lord. He has served faithfully. Potiphar knows that. And Potiphar knows he's doing just that in the prison, too. So he can come with confidence and put these two into his charge. It's very interesting. Potiphar has done something here that I'm sure he realizes is not exactly right for this slave, but it has to be. And Joseph is enduring all this, and he is still civil and courteous to Potiphar, and he's still doing exactly what he should do, and the Lord is with him. And everybody knows that who knows Joseph. Now, in verse 5, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each with his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. And when Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. And he asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" And they said to him, "We've had a dream, and there's no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please." Now, Joseph is an authority on dreams. He has them. He knows how to interpret them. But he has a divinely imparted gift in this matter. He does not guess. He knows exactly what the dreams mean. Back there in Genesis 37, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his family, and that was the start of all his trouble. His gift provoked jealousy on the part of his brethren, and they sold him into slavery because of his dreams. And they sold him there with the taunt, "Now let's see what becomes of his dreams." They were thinking to destroy the meaning of the dreams, but they couldn't because they were divinely interpreted. Joseph was a divinely commissioned interpreter. So now, here come two men there, and they both have a dream the same night that's disturbing. And they don't know what it means. Now, all of us have had that experience. We've had dreams, very vivid ones, and we'd like to know what they mean. I don't like those dreams when the tiger is just a few feet behind you and your feet are made of lead, you know. Now, those are disturbing dreams, you know. But a lot of times we have dreams and we have no idea what they mean, but they're awfully vivid. We'd like to know. Sometimes we have no idea. Joseph, on the other hand, did know. He was gifted that way. And so this is not an accident, friends. Here he is in the place where God wanted him. And that's hard to swallow. A jail was not what Joseph wanted. This was not one of Joseph's great desires in life. He was in a spot where he very much liked to get out. But he was there in the will of God. And now here come two people, each with a dream. And Joseph can help them, and he knows it. And this is why he's there. Because the steps are going right along according to God's will. He's in the right place at the right time. Uncomfortable though it may be for him, he is there by order of God's will. And so he asked them, "What about these dreams that you've had?" And they say, "You know, we're disturbed by it. We don't know anybody who can interpret this." And Joseph said, "Well, I can do it. Tell me about it." So, verse 9, the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me, and on the vine three branches. And as it was budding, its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hands. So I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand." Now, that was very puzzling to him. Why these actions? Why this spontaneous growth of the vine and all that to produce something, which he actually did all the time, present a cup to Pharaoh? And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep me in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this house. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews. Even here I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." So here's Joseph. There's no puzzlement on his part at all. He knows exactly what the dream means. This is his gift. God has given him such ability. He hears it and he tells him exactly what it means. No question that it could be different. This is it. 3 days, you're going to be restored. You're going to be back as cupbearer and you'll have the same privileges you had before and the complete trust of Pharaoh. So when this happens, speak a good word for me. Get me out of this place. Well, that's a normal way to take it, isn't it? Here he's doing something very valuable to the cupbearer and return the favor. When you get out and get in a good position, get me out of here. Well, that doesn't happen. But what the dream meant does happen. Now in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that he had interpreted it favorably, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, there were three baskets of white bread on my head. And in the top basket there were some of all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. Then Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh off of you. Oh boy, he didn't want to hear that. But again, Joseph couldn't make a mistake. He knew exactly what it was. He was an interpreter of dreams, and he said exactly what it said. Faithful, he always was. He didn't hide things just because it was pleasant for one and not pleasant for another. He told it exactly what it meant. Now, these dreams are rather significant. When you think of them, they have larger meaning than what the immediate revelation is to the people who had them. For example, the cupbearer now looks and there's a vine in front of him. In Scripture, the vine is one of the symbols of Israel, a symbol of prosperity. If you recall, in Ezekiel chapter 17, the vine is used as an image there for the nation of Israel and is going to be taken into captivity and transplanted to another land. That was part of the image that was used there. There's continual reference through Scripture to the vine being a good symbol, particularly a symbol of Israel. And remember in John 15, when the Lord talks to the disciples, the vine and the branches is one of the images He uses for God's people, and an image of great blessing for God's people as the strength of the vine flows into them. So that symbol was a very blessed symbol that is going to have thousands of years of history behind it as a symbol. On the other hand, for the chief baker, he's got 3 baskets of bread on his head. And the birds come and eat the bread out of the basket. Now, birds that eat is another symbol. And that, too, has a history in Scripture. If you recall, in Matthew 13, where the Lord gives the parable of the sower, when the sower was casting his grain and some fell upon the wayside where the pathway was, the birds of the air came and ate it all up, and it didn't sprout. Now, that's interpreted as the devil coming and catching away the seed of the word, lest it be sown in the hearts of people, and they believe and repent. So there's a symbol of evil again. So here again, for a long time, this symbol is there in Scripture. Very interesting. So these two major symbols are used here, and Joseph is not the least bit puzzled. This is a divine revelation. And he says exactly what it means. Lo and behold, it means for good or for ill for centuries to come. And in later visions and inspired parts of Scripture, it's still there. So Joseph is here uttering something that is quite insightful. Now, in verse 20, thus it came about on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of his chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief cupbearer to his office, and he put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. So here it is, precise fulfillment, exactly as Joseph had spelled it out. It was 3 days, and that was a day of celebration, as it happened, Pharaoh's birthday, when everything was a special occasion. And so he summons these men that he had put in prison. One of them, he puts back into his office, the cupbearer. And here he comes with the cup, the privilege of giving it to Pharaoh again, one of the most trusted people in the empire. And for the other one, he hanged him. And Joseph had said exactly that for the two. So it was not a case that Joseph was guessing. He knew. He was an interpreter of dreams. Verse 23. Yet, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. The sadness that's involved here. Here Joseph was completely vindicated. He was demonstrated to be an interpreter of dreams of remarkable proportions. And the cupbearer received the benefits from him and just forgot to mention anything about it. Human nature. He took the benefit, and he was ungrateful to the person who told him about it. I'm sure that hurt Joseph even more. Here he is, in God's will, serving to the best of his ability, and he here exercises a divinely imparted gift for the benefit of the people involved and tells them the truth in the matter. And the one who profits the most from the revelation forgets him. And he stays in jail. In fact, verse 1 of chapter 41 says, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. For 2 years afterwards, he was still in that jail. Still there, the cupbearer had no conscience about the matter. He's just not going to mention it anymore. And here is Joseph in what he thinks is the worst possible condition, the worst place he could think of, in jail, in a heathen land, serving heathen people, and still he's trying to serve God. Now, friends, there's something about this that we must absorb for ourselves. Many times we look at circumstances and we say, God has forgotten me. No, friends, God has not forgotten us. God knows exactly where we are and exactly what's happening to us. We tend to equate hard circumstances or difficulties with God's failure to help us. And we don't recognize that many times those hard circumstances are also part of God's will and that He is doing things to help us. And that these circumstances are going to bring us out stronger with a better ability to serve God and a better way to help other people. We can't see it that way. We think, oh, well, why did this have to happen? Well, it had to happen because God knows we need it. That's the biblical answer. And we tend to get irritable about this. Now, why does God allow this to continue year after year? So I've been through the test. Why doesn't God let the door open and I can get out of this? Well, because we need further training, and the timing is always His. Joseph had to wait before this occasion occurred, where there were dreams involved that were very important for him to interpret. And he's there right on time, right in the place, and he does it. And he thinks, now, that ought to be enough. But that was not God's principal purpose. That was just step number one. And many times we look at things this way. We see, you know, well, I should have passed this test. I did it right this time. Yes, but maybe there's a second installment here. Maybe there's something else for us to learn as well. And this is what Joseph has to learn. Yes, he's there. He did it right. He gave the right revelation. And it happened exactly so. God vindicated him, and he's still there. Why? Because there's another dream down the pathway. There are 2 dreams down the pathway. And this time it is going to be Pharaoh who has them. And it is very important that Joseph be there and interpret those dreams, not the ones he has just given. We can't see the future, friends. We're very short-sighted this way. We look at circumstances and we say, well, you know, this has to be it. And we can't see down the pathway, but God sees. And many times things happen that we have to take by faith and walk humbly with God, letting His will be accomplished and being obedient, because God has the whole pathway in mind. And we don't. All we can see is what's happened so far. And we may presume that the pathway is this way and that there'll be certain things down the future road, but we don't know. And many times we are surprised by what happens. God is never surprised. God always knows exactly what is down that pathway, always bringing into our lives everything needed so that when that time comes that He knows about, we will be genuinely ready and His grace can carry us through. We tend to want to short-circuit things. We tend to want to bail out of this and that, especially if it's a difficulty. We want to get out as fast as possible. But that isn't always God's will. God does know, and we have to be patient and walk humbly with God down the pathway that the Word marks out for us. And for every one of us, we must have the inner assurance that God does know, that God is leading every step of the way, and God is intending to bring us out with great benefit at the end of whatever test may happen. Sometimes we worry about that. And we look at circumstances and think, well, you know, this isn't going too well. Now, this can't be God's will. But maybe it can. God always knows precisely what we need. And the training that we go through and the experiences that we have many times are necessary to accomplish His purpose. And He sees it. Step by step, He leads us down these pathways, and we must trust Him for the pathway. We all can quote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's a very comforting word. But let's face it, friends, sometimes the pathway is not comforting. Sometimes the pathway is very disturbing. And we quote to ourselves kind of in desperation, "The Lord is my shepherd." Yes, He doesn't make a mistake. He knows the pathway. We must trust Him for that, friends. We must have serene confidence that when He brings us down a pathway in a certain direction, He knows what He is doing. He is doing it for our benefit. He's doing it so that we will be a benefit to others. Joseph is here of inestimable value to Pharaoh's servants and later on to Pharaoh himself and the entire Egyptian empire. He was patient. And he waited upon the Lord, and the Lord guided his steps just so. We must trust God that same way. Trusting Him to lead us down the right pathway, to bless His Word to our hearts, to give us the insight we need to serve Him well day by day, and to let Him work out His will through us so that we may indeed be a blessing to others, so that our lives would be a testimony where God knows they should be. If only we could look down the pathway and see a person there who needs God's Word. We could see a person there who needs the example of a Christian testimony that we will be living. If only we could see that, it would make it so much easier for us. But we don't see. We can't see. All we can see is the next step in front of us. By faith, we walk. And by faith, we must trust Him to accomplish everything. Only He knows. Only He can bring it to pass. Only He can fulfill His Word through us. And we must walk that pathway serenely confident. He does not make a mistake. He does not lead us wrongly. The difficulty of the pathway is immaterial. It is absolutely unimportant. The fact that we are in God's will, according to His Word, and obediently following God is 100% of the blessing of God. Joseph was exactly where he should be, and God blessed him. And Joseph continued serving without knowing why, and desperately putting out feelers, "Can we get out of this? Can this man help me?" No, none of them could, because God didn't will it. God willed him to be right where he was, because Pharaoh was going to need him 2 years down the pathway. And Joseph had to be there. Friends, this is here for our admonition. We need to be sure of God's gracious care, sure that God leads His children, sure that He is the great shepherd. He does not err. He does not lead us capriciously. He leads us step by step according to His will, and we must be confident that we serve the living God who is our shepherd and who will bring us safely all the way to the fold. O Lord, forgive us that we worry about the future. Forgive us that we become dissatisfied with circumstances and trials and difficulties that come. Forgive us. Help us to see Thy hand. Help us to walk by faith. Help us to follow the shepherd with unquestioning trust, as Thou dost know the way, and Thou dost know Thy servants, and Thou dost know exactly what we need. Help us to walk humbly with Thee, to follow according to Thy word, to be obedient to every step, no matter how difficult, and enable us to be a blessing to those people who need Thy grace. Enable us to be a testimony to those who need to see how a Christian lives in times of stress and difficulty. Help us to walk humbly with Thee, Lord. And we ask for the sense of Thy presence. Be with us, Lord, even as Thou wast with Joseph. And bring us too out at the right place, the right time, that the Lord Jesus might receive all the glory. For we pray in His name. Amen.